If you lost Big Brother and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to another edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and this will be my first time ever celebrating Christmas, though I suspect celebrating won't be the most accurate word to use. With me, as always, is my pregame alliance who made it all the way to the end, Jessica Lewis.
That's right. Here we are, final three, right?
That's right.
Woo. And you're going with me to final two. You're my number two.
So for our guest this week, I would love to do a full introduction in the style she does for her own podcast. But there is no way I can live up to that because she is simply the best. In fact, I have publicly said on social media, and will do so again right now, that I believe she is the nicest person on the face of the earth. It's Teresa T-Bird Cooper from Survivor Africa. And of course, Talking with T-Bird on Rob Has a Podcast.
Hey, David. Thank you so much. That was so sweet. Hey, Jessica.
Hi.
I'm so glad to be here with you guys. I appreciate y'all inviting me on here to talk about Big Brother. I actually listened. So I listened to Chantel, Anessa's and Chantel's getting me ready. And then I realized y'all obviously needed filler for this week. So here I am.
No. So you know why you got roped into this? Because you are the nicest person on the planet. And I put out a tweet into the universe and she called me. T-Bird called me to check in on me to make sure I was okay. Just because I put this tweet out there that said something, I don't even remember what it was, like the longest day ever. And she was kind enough to call me to make sure that I was doing okay, which just speaks volumes of the type of person that Teresa really is. I mean, it's just, are just an incredible human being. And I am wearing this shirt in honor of you and Ethan, because Ethan designed this shirt. He's the winner of Survivor Africa, as many people know. And you were incredible on that season. And so this is in honor of you and the old school Survivor that I miss so much.
Jessica, that is, you know, I actually thought about wearing my old school shirt as well. And I thought, no, I don't want to disrespect Big Brother. I'm going to come in here. I'm not going to be playing up the Survivor thing.
Oh, we're going to.
Well, as soon as we clicked on, you had your old school shirt. I'm like, oh my gosh, you got on your old school shirt. And so listen, I don't know if you remember this, Jessica. I had a connection with you other than, let's see, I know you like red wine.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have two children, a boy and a girl,
mm-hmm.
as do I.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you have a dog, a bulldog named Charlotte, and mm-hmm. I am a Georgia Bulldog fan. So we're connected that way, right?
We are.
Yes. And also, I did notice that you said that you felt like you were old school. I read that you had tweeted that out somewhere, and I'm like, really, really connected. Now, I had to make one change. Normally, when I'm with Rob, I usually have popcorn, which actually I'm not allowed to eat during a podcast, but I kind of keep it to the side. David, I didn't ask you if I could have any food during our podcast because I felt quite sure you'd say no.
In honor
of our girl, look.
I know. Stop it.
So I got these. I've never had them before. I've never had these before.
You've never had them?
I've never had them.
Listen, you are going to experience the best potato chip you've ever had in your life.
Cal
brand salt vinegar. I know. They're a tricky bag.
Yeah, the childproof lock off the top of them.
Yeah.
And it we're in.
So jealous.
But I won't clench on them yet, but I've got them here for security right here. So they've got
it. And it pairs nicely with wine. It pairs nicely with wine. Yes.
Well, if we only had some, we'll have to see what we can do about that.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Okay. All right. Cheers. So Jessica, I'm so impressed with you. I think I told you when you asked me about doing this and I committed so quickly, then I realized I was in the midst of watching the Braves play and, you know, hopefully get into the World Series. Well, that didn't work out. But mm-hmm. then when you text me about doing it, I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah. And then the next day I thought, oh dear Lord, I think I just committed to something that I'm not really sure that I'm the one for the job, but here I am. I'm so impressed with you, with everything you do. And David, Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so, you know, you're a publisher, you're an editor, you're an engineer, you're a podcaster, you're a poker player, and you're a sometime juggler. Who in the world would that remind me of? Would that not remind me of Debbie Donata Vanner from Korong? I'm just saying. The first thing I thought of.
There have been some recent differences that have come about for anyone who follows me on Twitter. We'll go with that.
Okay.
The juggling is a little extra. I mean, that's incredibly impressive. I was not expecting to see juggling coming from David, for sure.
Well, come on. I was the vice president of the juggling and unicycle club in college.
And there it is, right there.
I couldn't be president because I couldn't unicycle.
Oh, that's sad. You'll have to work on that.
Yeah, I've tried. Mm. I have no balance whatsoever when it comes to that. So
thank you for having me. For all the Big Brother fans out there, if nothing else, hopefully we'll have some fun with it. Whatever I say, just know she doesn't know what she's talking about. Just listen to David.
Oh, yes, you do.
And Jessica, and it'll be perfect.
Well, no, it's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, we really appreciate you joining us here today. And I think we all know that you always have good things to say about everybody. Mm-hmm. So either you will be a complete balance to Jessica and me, or we're going to cure you of that today.
All right. Let's see what we can do.
All right. So, normally at this point, I'd ask you to introduce yourself, but you already did. So I'll just jump right into, for anyone who is new to the podcast, maybe they're watching or listening for the first time because T-Bird's on. Mm-hmm. Each week, we look at the player who got evicted and analyze their gameplay using what we saw on TV, live feeds, interviews, and other information. We compare everything about their game to a set of guiding rules I originally wrote in 2004. There they are, and have modified since, including the most recent version that was just on screen, or the slightly longer one at robhasawebsite.com/bigbrotherrules. Now, at this point in the podcast, we normally discuss things that happened this week before we get to the rules and Christmas in particular. But as we get down to the low, low numbers of contestants, there just isn't as much going on as you may have noticed in watching the show. Mm-hmm. Now, do either of you have anything you want to discuss before we get to the rules? Anything you want to talk about that's happened this week?
Oh, yes.
Look at this. I love
it. Lots of stuff. So we're not starting with the rules. Woo. Okay. So first thing, I really liked some of the challenges they did. I thought those were great. Now, when we saw the chess challenge that Enzo said he couldn't play chess. And I thought, yeah, no, I'd probably be a little confused by that myself. But it was fun to watch that. But I loved the hamster wheel. Oh. I thought the hamster wheel was so much fun. Mm-hmm. So, and I noticed that Christmas, have y'all noticed that there's a lot of liters of Coca-Cola? Empty liters of Coca-Cola around the Big Brother kitchen. Is there a reason for that? Oh my gosh. Okay. Maybe. So because I knew I was talking to y'all this week, I watched it and tried to pay close attention. So I noticed there's all kind of empty. They're empty. So they're either a sponsor, which I would imagine they have sponsors for these things.
Right.
But then after watching Christmas on the hamster wheel, I was thinking she might have finished off one of those leaders because she was getting after it.
Yeah, she really does. Yeah.
And then I was worried about her hurting her foot again. And so that made me think, you know, like Survivor, I wonder if they have a doctor, you know, in the wing for people that might get hurt, because some of that stuff, I mean, all of the players were going so fast and falling and jumping off. And I thought,
yeah,
I mean, it was really fun to watch. But then I started worrying about Christmas's ankle for some reason. So, you know, that was a lot of fun. And then actually last night, did y'all watch it last night when they kind of did preview? Well, because I haven't been as in tuned as I should have been all season, I didn't know this was going to happen, but I loved watching it because I think when you're watching, you know, each night, when you go back to that, you see a bunch of team players working together and people that really look like they care about each other that sometimes you might not see when you're watching it, you know, a couple of times a week, or if you're watching the live feeds, maybe you will. But I'll tell you a couple of things that really stood out was Bailey. Bailey doing the tricycle. She had to do that tricycle 500 times around, and how everybody was out there cheering her on.
Yeah.
And so this is the last thing I'll say for now. David, are you sure you want me to be here tonight? We can go ahead and get somebody else in here real quick. Okay. So the reason I started watching Big Brother, I think it was season, it was the season where Bailey was on. So okay. Was it Bailey? Was it Bailey, Casey, Tyler, who else? JC?
Yep.
I love JC. Oh, dear Lord. Okay. I started watching where I'd never watched before, just because, you know, you get busy and being on so many nights a week, you know, it was just hard. But I started watching because Bailey was a Delta flight attendant. When she was cast for Big Brother, she was actually a Delta flight attendant at the time. So then I heard that a Delta flight attendant was going to be on Big Brother. So color me in. I had to watch it. So that got me hooked on the season. And that's really, you know, I kind of watched it, you know, on and off during her season. So anyway, okay.
Well, I'm going to jump into something that you actually talked about. And that was the chess challenge, because Enzo has gotten a lot of guff for the decision that he made to not help trap Christmas and work with Cody on that. Instead, he was like, I'm going in the opposite direction, so I'm going to have as many spaces as I want to move around. And I thought it was interesting that so many people were like hating on him for not working with Cody, because it's not like he's hurting he and Cody, because he's setting himself up to win. If Cody is going after Christmas, then he's going to either take her out or she's going to have no place to go and Enzo's going to win. So I just thought it was interesting that we're down to the wire here. And yep. It's very rare in Survivor world, especially, where you see people helping each other try to win. I mean, that is a rarity. And to see Enzo like making a move to assure that he was going to win and then having people be angry with him for doing that, I thought that was strange, because I thought his play was a smart one, personally.
I was going to say, and guys, this isn't an amazing race. Two people aren't going to finish together. And we're privy to all the confessionals, just like on Survivor. We're seeing all the confessionals about people talking, but you cannot assume that this person you think is going to carry you is going to carry you.
Yeah.
And the same thing, I mean, here he's got Nicole. She thinks that he's going to carry her. You, at this point, you've got to play your, when you get down to a final four or five, you got to say, okay, we're going to work together. We're going to get to the final four. And then we're going to all man, you know, we're going to play for ourselves.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, Enzo, I don't know why anybody would get upset with Enzo, because he kind of wanted Christmas to win because he's got an alliance with her. So I think, and that means he doesn't have to do any dirty work. If Christmas wins, Christmas is going to do it. So
yeah,
it makes sense. Now, if he didn't feel that comfortable with Christmas, but Christmas out of the three of them doesn't have that many allies.
Right.
Enzo's the one that, you know, she has. So I kind of feel like, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing was, anybody who followed me on Twitter saw what I thought of Cody and Nicole criticizing Enzo for that, because it was dumb. Right. All of them wanted to make sure that Christmas didn't win. Well, one way to make sure that Christmas doesn't win is for Enzo to make sure that he does win.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and so it didn't matter who knocked out who, because especially at the final four, the only person who has a decision to make is the person who wins veto. And this was HOH. Literally all you're doing for HOH is winning immunity, basically. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And they didn't want Christmas to win immunity.
Right.
But didn't Nicole say, I thought she said she thought it would be okay for Enzo to win this, until he started playing like he was going to win it. And then she wasn't big on it. She thought that he wasn't being a team player.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, she made no sense. None of them did. And I think as we'll get into this, we'll talk about, you know, we'll talk about this more. We've been talking about it all season, is this team mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to get out there as a team, like you said, and root Bailey on as she's doing laps. But this team mentality of everything must be good for the team doesn't work. And it especially doesn't work in Final Four. And that's the only thing I can think of to explain why they were criticizing Enzo. Make sense.
And look what Enzo did or did not do a few weeks ago when he did not get Nicole out.
Right.
When he had that opportunity to do that. So Enzo was playing Enzo's game then. It's, and I got to give him credit for that. Because again, like Christmas said last night, you know, congratulations, you're third place. And so
that was incredible.
And this, bless his heart. But you saw how excited he was when he won the chess game. He was so excited, yo, that he was going to be third place, yo. So I'm thinking maybe third place is going to be okay with him, because it looks like he might, unless he makes this move to try to get Cody out, and I can't see that happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Enzo has left a lot of us like just waiting. We're like, oh no.
He's going to make a move. He's going to make,
it's heart wrenching because I do think he's so well liked by everyone in the house, and he had good relationships with everyone, and there's just so many missed opportunities for him. And I said it weeks ago about Nicole that they're going to let her get to the end and she's going to end up winning because we have a bitter jury and they're going to be mad that nobody took out a prior winner. And she's going to end up winning just because I feel like that's the jury we have, is that they're going to be like, you know what? Yeah. So I feel for Enzo because he so many missed opportunities for him. So many.
But yeah. Jessica and David, don't y'all think though, I mean, carrying a winner to the end, to me, that could go either way. You carry a winner to the end also because you feel like, did I mention Survivor? Oh, here we go. Like with Sandra, Sandra would have been a perfect person to bring to the end. She'd won twice. No way they're going to let her win a third time, in my opinion. So the same way with this, you've got all these players. These are all-stars. You know, most of these all-stars, whether they finish third place, second place, or they won, they don't want this one person, Nicole, to have the bragging rights. I'm the only person to have ever won twice. So I think that will hurt her with the jury. Although if she presents herself well, it could help her. But I don't think it's such a bad, necessarily a bad thing when you try to take a winner to the end, really.
But I do think that it depends upon the jury that's sitting there. And if you have and they have already referenced the fact that you let a winner get to the end, well, then I'm going to vote for her because she made it all the way to the end and she should have never made it that far. And so it's kind of got this double-edged sword where you think it's going to work in your favor where, oh, no one's going to want her to win twice. But it's almost like just despite the rest of you for kicking me out and not taking her out, I'm going to vote for her to win just because they want to kind of get back at the fact that they're not the one sitting there. Yeah. I could see that being the case here because I do think there's a lot of bitterness in the jury.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I'll say is to quote another winner who made it to the end, you know, it, saying nobody would vote for them at the end. I don't know about that.
That is true.
Well, you know what is funny? When you look at these three players that we've got left, I can see where all three of them, they think they're in their own head.
Yes.
So Cody is well-liked. What I like about Cody is in his confessionals, he's been very, it looks like, precise on saying, this is what I did. This is why I did it. And explaining it, like some of the others will be like, hey, you know, let's have some fun when we get out of the Big Brother house. Hope you're not mad. And he's actually strategically telling everybody, this is why I did it. It's like with Memphis. For Memphis to see him say, hey, Memphis, I'm sorry. I thought we were in an alliance. I realized you had another alliance on the side. No bitter feeling. Of course, Memphis has got to look at that and respect that. Well, yeah, you know, I messed up. I messed up with that. And then Nicole can say, hey, I'm at the end. I'm a winner. They've got to respect that. And then, of course, Enzo saying, well, I've not ruffled any feathers. They like me. So really, you can see why all three of them have a good argument for themselves of why they think they can win.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But getting rid of Christmas, I don't know. I don't want to remind you about these rules right here.
Why don't we go ahead and get into that?
I don't know. I'm loving this format right
now.
She's
ready.
Well, let's go ahead and get ready for the rules here.
Okay, before we get to the rules, David, let me just say this. For example, look a little bit earlier on when we saw David. David, by the way, David also, I think, was on with Bailey. Wasn't he on with Bailey?
No. Okay, No, he was on last season.
Yeah, last season.
Okay, I started watching with Bailey, and then the reason I watched the last season was because David was from Atlanta. At the time, he was living in Atlanta. I think now he might be in L.A. But anyway, then I started watching for David, and my heart was like broken when he got out so early and watching his, you know, what happened with him. Mm-hmm. But he is definitely a player that whether you're playing, you know, Big Brother or Survivor, that's the kind of player you want to pull in close. Because if you're loyal to him and he knows you're loyal, I think he'll follow you. And they should have realized, I think Memphis had him dialed in saying he's really not all-star material, but maybe he's not in to what you think, Memphis, but he's certainly somebody that wants mm-hmm. to learn the game and is happy to be here and that you could take pull in close to you and use. And the same way with Kevin. I mean, Kevin is a great guy. There's some really good players they let go that just needed somewhere to park.
Yes.
They just needed some loyalty. And then this big, strong alliance had strong players without having some of these people that they could have had to, that would have been loyal to them, that would have kept them in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. No, right. That is a great point. We actually talked a little about that previously, that there were so many missed chances to have like almost a side gig or somebody else available to you to make sure that you had someone outside of the six. You had someone over here that was also loyal to you and supporting you and voting with you. And
right.
And, you know, I think that's a great point. Look at she was acting like she wasn't ready for this.
Oh, come she's ready.
I'm feeling good right now. I'm feeling good.
All right.
Keep it going. Get the
Henderson
wheel going.
Okay, yeah. All right, here we go. 'Twas the final three eviction, and all the viewers knew Christmas was going. There was nothing she could do. But how did she end up in this predicament? We'll discuss everything and find out why they sent her out of the house from the game she'd been tossed. Now we'll figure out why Christmas lost.
Wow! Hey,
that
Jessica!
Was amazing!
Jessica, that was great. You know what that reminds me of?
She's so ready.
Cody, watching the dance.
Yeah. Yes.
The dance. No, seriously, David, that was
He hated
good.
Every second of that.
Yes.
That was amazing, though, David. Yes.
It was great.
It's still not as good as the rapping, but that's up there. That is definitely up there. That was great. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, the first and most important rule, of course, is to scheme and plot, which includes getting into an early alliance to keep yourself safe. Christmas did that, just like all the other members of the committee. And also, like all the other members of the committee, she held on to that alliance for dear life, always doing what was best for the group instead of necessarily what was best for her. Mm-hmm. That set herself up well for making it to the final six because the committee held almost entirely solid. Indeed, earlier in the game, she said, quote, I'm totally loyal to the committee and anyone who has been loyal to the committee or to me. But final six isn't winning the game. And that's where Christmas hit a wall named Cody. Mm. In his interview, Rob asked Christmas if there was anything she could have done to create a tighter bond with Cody early. And she said that they had a good relationship right away, but people either click or they don't. And she didn't feel like she needed to foster that more than it was naturally. Adding that he was tight with Nicole and Enzo, and there's only so many spots in people's circle. Of course, this is a terrible way to look at things. Oh, well, we get along okay, so I'm not going to bother making any further headway with him. In the meantime, as we got closer to the end, Cody noted that Christmas was the only one with whom he didn't have a final two deal.
Yeah, I do think that, again, we go back to that missed opportunities where I do think that Christmas's loyalty is almost like her biggest detriment in this game because she became so blindly loyal to Memphis and the committee as a whole that she was missing other things that were happening in the game and not realizing where do I fall in this group of six and how loyal is Memphis to me? Because if Memphis is also loyal to Enzo, I have to kind of question that relationship too. And I never really got the impression that she was taking it that additional step. She was just kind of comfortable in, I've got a six and I've got Memphis and we've got this group of three. And it's interesting in her exit press where she talks about how she had a lot of other side deals, but I didn't really get the impression that she did. So maybe in her head, she thought she was in a better place than she really was with these people. When in reality, she didn't have the close relationship like anyone else did as far as, you know, Cody and Nicole and Cody and Enzo and Memphis and Enzo. I mean, it just felt like people were closer than she even ever seemed with anyone in the house.
But Jessica and David, don't you think, though, that at this point, maybe earlier it could have messed her up, at this point, she's made it to Final Four. Now, for somebody that's not watched as closely as y'all have, it looks like to me anybody would want to take her with them.
Yes.
Any of these three people. So even though as far as scheming and the plotting and the da-da and the da-da-da-da-da, this is the one you want to be with. This is the one you want to sit with. So at this point, like we talked about, when you get to Final Four, you've got to start playing your game. And I think Enzo kind of did that when he played his own chess game, hoping Christmas Mike can get in there, because he realized this is the one I want to sit with.
Right.
And you would think, Nicole, and so you guys tell me, is this different in any kind of game that you're playing, even say with Survivor, where you want to be loyal, but at what point do you say, you know, we need to cut each other and we need to look at the final two or three, because I know that's that's going to affect the jury or how they think about you. But Christmas, to me, couldn't have done anything other than, even her Hail Mary was saying, you guys, you know, even her exit speech.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. By what she said, I'm thinking, I know she talked to each one of that prior, because she is the one that you should have carried with you. Well, that's in my opinion.
Oh, well, I agree.
Yeah, there's a lot, and we'll get to that in several other spots, too, as we go through it, I think. But the problem wasn't where she was right then as much as how she had gotten there. And what I mean by that is she said in her pregame interview with ET Online that she understand you play by a different set of rules in the house than you do in real life. And she'd do whatever was necessary, including not being loyal to everyone if she didn't need to. And certainly when it came to the committee, that wasn't her. We know that she did seem to be playing the game a little bit earlier. And I think, Jessica, this goes back to what she was saying. You know, when some of the first evictions took place, the people who were voted out were most surprised by Christmas being involved in the main alliance. As you know, Nicole A talked about how she, Kaser, and Janelle thought they may be able to get Christmas on their side, as just one example. So she had her hand in several alliances, and she looked like she was playing a surprisingly decent game, even having a final two with Tyler. But then she became HOH and blew up her entire game.
Yeah.
You know, one of her alliances was a tight one with Bailey. But instead of nurturing that alliance and using it to her advantage, she targeted Bailey by nominating her and Davon, using the whole quote unquote untouchable excuse. And then she said in her goodbye message that she and her main alliance teamed up the first week and it was a little too late for the two of them. But no, she was wrong. And I think we even said it in the Why Bailey Lost podcast. It is never too late. And having multiple alliances would have been a great setup for her. So she didn't end up the way she ended up.
Right.
You know, the only people that she decided to be disloyal to were the likes of Bailey and Davon, and then she did, you know, end up loosening things up with Tyler after problems that he was having. But when it came to the committee, all we heard was loyalty, loyalty, loyalty.
And I do think that this is part of the issue that she now finds herself in, because one of Cody's biggest concerns about Christmas is, where does her loyalty lie? Mm-hmm. You know, Nicole is telling me I'm definitely going with her to the end. Enzo is telling me I'm definitely going with her to the end. And it took Christmas this week to look at him and say, I will take you to the end. And he believed her, but it took her a very long time to spin that wheel and say, hey, no, this is what's going to happen. We got to stick with this wheel thing. I like it. Yeah. But, you know, so I do think that that's part of the problem that she found herself in, is that there was kind of, she was such an unknown. Nobody really knew who she was loyal to, because there was the committee. And then, like you said, everyone was always surprised to find that Christmas was part of it, because she was being a little more stealthy, which was great. But because she wasn't creating those really, really tight bonds with people like she needed to, now you get to the end and people are questioning, well, what is she going to do? Even though I do think they were all wrong in getting rid of her, but we'll get there. We'll definitely get there.
Well, what I was going to say, as far as loyalty, with a son named Loyal, isn't her son Loyal?
Yes.
You know, maybe she waited so long because she didn't have that connection with Cody. She waited to the very end to do the Hail Mary to go to Cody and say, I'll take you. And I think maybe the reason she did that is because she knew deep down that was not going to be the best thing for her to do if she made it further, because right. she couldn't win against him. But that was her last ditch to say, well, I'll tell him. Now, whether she would have taken him or not, what did she say? Would she have taken him? Because that was
she hesitated.
Well, yeah she hesitated. So, but then in post-game interviews, she has said she would. But I think Christmas is definitely the type of person. I'm not the first one to say this. I think Taryn said it, too. I think she is definitely the type of person who would lock it in her mind and say that afterwards. But you don't really know what would have happened in the days right. leading up to it.
Right. And that's true.
And you guys, when Nicole says, I'll take you, and so they're all telling each other they'll take them, does the jury on Big Brother care that they don't follow through with what they said they were going to do? Do they? Or do they?
I think they will care somewhat, but not if it's cutting Cody. I think if one of them wins final HOH and cuts Cody, the whole jury will go, hallelujah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I do think that that is a very similar thing that we see in Survivor as well. When there's that one person that everyone is like, they're going to win, and the jury is sitting there frustrated thinking, why haven't you taken this person out yet? And the jury is getting more and more angry with the people playing the game because they're not playing the game to win. So when they finally do cut that person, they're like, oh, thank God. But you waited so long. So I do think that if someone does that here and cuts Cody, it is going to resonate with the jury because they're going to be like, it's about time. You know, I think Danny was the one talking about how we've all been waiting for a big move. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Join the club. We all have been. Yeah.
Now, besides preaching loyalty, the other thing we heard from Christmas all the time was that she was supposedly a competition beast. She told Dalton Ross, the last time I played this game, I couldn't do any of the physical competitions. I was very limited. I had to rely on my alliance and my social game. This season, I was able to compete. I was able to really offer some alliance power and take a strong stand as a competitor in the game. Now, people may be wondering, you may be wondering, why am I bringing up comps in the first rule, which is about strategy? But that's exactly the reason. Christmas values comps more than anything else.
Mm.
Even after playing for almost two full seasons, she still doesn't get it. If you ask Christmas, what is rule one? She would say win comps. Multiple interviewers asked her what she would do differently if she could change one thing. And she told them that she wouldn't have dropped that pumpkin in the HOH competition. She even said later it was her biggest mistake of the game. But no, that's not it at all. Her whole strategy should not have hinged on winning one particular competition. You know, she was asked a question about strategy, but could only talk about a competition loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, so she didn't understand that she could have won that comp. She could have made it all the way to the final two, and she still would have lost, much the way you two were just talking about it. You know, she, going back to when Rob had asked on his interview about making a better relationship with Cody earlier in the game, one thing she said was, well, I can't what if. Well, wait a minute. You can't what if for actual strategic gameplay, but you can what if for dropping something at a pumpkin? I mean, at a competition?
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's the way Christmas thinks.
David, I know what you're saying, but let me just say this. I really kind of actually appreciate that, because she obviously knows, I don't know if it's limitations, but y'all, you know how you might clash with somebody and you just can't get that bond or that closeness that you want. For whatever reason, she felt like she didn't have that with Cody.
Mm.
Did she try? Did she really try?
I don't know, because I just started watching at the end. So I'm going to check out for a little while.
Yeah.
Tell me when y'all are ready for me to join the conversation again.
All right. That's not true.
Don't oh, my God.
That.
That's amazing. I'll
take you seriously.
This is so great.
But, you know, you get even. But Jessica and David, I know in all your professions that you've done, you want to warm up to people. I mean, I saw it in Africa. When the tribe split from the very beginning, and I kept trying to break through on the other side with any little bit, but there was nothing coming together. So it takes two sides to pull it together.
It does. It does. And I will say this, that if some, like me on Survivor, like I struggled with trying to really form bonds with certain people. And I do think that you find comfort in certain people that you more easily connect with and people that you more easily can talk to. And sometimes it's harder to force yourself to do that because you know the significance of those relationships. So I don't discount the fact that Christmas might have tried and Cody might have tried and maybe they just didn't gel. But at the same time, this is now the situation she finds herself in because they didn't really try to build that bond. And who knows if she didn't try hard enough. She really built a bond with Memphis because it sounded like they clicked. They had a lot in common. They both have sons and they seem to really support each other. So it's one more reason why we see her in the situation she's in, because no one is looking at her going, well, you know, she and I were like this. And yeah. I know she's got my back. And now instead, everyone's questioning going, is she really going to take me or is she going to take somebody else? And I think it has to also do with the fact that they probably all recognized that they could beat Christmas. And so if you think about it, if they all look at her and go, well, I know that I can beat her and I know Nicole can probably beat her and I know Cody can probably beat her. So if we can all kind of beat her, then who is she going to take? Like it's not as cut and dry as like, right. Oh, we know that she's going to take this person. It really is kind of up in the air. And that makes it even more scary for any of them to want to keep her because that it's such a broad question.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, both of you said more you, T-Bird, but you both said we don't know what she did to try and connect. Well, we do know because she answered in the interviews and said, no, don't run away. She answered in the interview and said basically, yeah, we didn't really link up. So I stopped trying. And that's the thing.
She tried her best to do a dance for him this week. She did. She tried. She couldn't remember.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And he had just told, he did not want any part of it.
Well,
he pretended like he was interested, right? He was like, yeah. I do not want to ask this next question, but I'm going to.
Right.
Do you remember the dance?
Yeah.
Well, I know, but you saw there was no eye contact. He didn't
lift his head off sunglasses. The couch
yet. Where are my props here? He had on his sunglasses. And David, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
How many guys, if they hear a girl say, do you want to see me do a dance? Especially somebody that looks like Christmas. You're going to take those shades off and say, let me see it, Christmas. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I would say it. I would be like, well, let me
think,
see it.
Yeah. I think we'll get more to that when we get to about rule six. So we'll find out a little bit more about what the people thought about Christmas.
Okay, go ahead.
But no, you're fine. But one more thing to discuss in this rule is that much like we talked about last week with Memphis, Christmas clearly had no idea who stood where. She said she hoped Enzo would work with her to eliminate Cody from the HOH competition, from the chess one. Instead, of course, Enzo let Cody block her out. Then she said that Enzo winning the HOH gave her a good chance of not being on the block, which was a combination of both meaningless and clueless. She was so sure that it went poorly for Cody because he let Enzo win HOH. And instead, it was really Cody's dream scenario, no matter what he complained about, like we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I know what I really think. I know what really took Christmas's game down.
Christmas?
I don't know if we should hit this early.
Well, is it in rule one?
I'm not sure which rule it applies to. Apply to one of these rules.
Okay.
So she did not pick Memphis in Clash of the Cartoons.
Oh, yes. That was definitely the reason.
She felt so bad about that. Everything, her feng shui was thrown off and everything happened. That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
All right. I like
All right.
This.
Well, we got That's your conclusion it. Early there, but we'll go ahead.
All right. I'll see you later.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead to rule two. Maybe we'll catch up to you. And the second rule tells players not to scheme and plot too much and to keep their scheming secret. But every time Christmas had a plan, she exposed it to the world. We talked about blowing up her game in her HOH, and this was part of that situation. She had her alliance, and she also had a side deal with Bailey, who felt comfortable with her. It was early in the game. She didn't really have to show her cards, but instead she put up Bailey and Devon, showed exactly where she stood, and evicted an ally. And then she went and fully exposed her game plans with Tyler and then with Memphis. She kept creating these duos and then letting everyone find out about them, which meant they had to be split up. And, well, they were.
Yeah. I will say this, though, to her credit, and you've already mentioned this, that a lot of the people when they would leave the house were surprised to see that she was part of the six. You know, she and Memphis were the ones that people never anticipated to be part of that group. So she did seem to at least be doing well with keeping some of that unknown to the house. But then, you know, when things would actually turn into something and there was an opportunity for her to utilize this relationship, well, then we saw a much different response. And I do think that that whole situation with Bailey and Davon and Tyler, just it went completely, completely sideways, and it didn't need to be. She could have utilized her HOH in a way that would have empowered her, but also supported the committee at the same time. And unfortunately, she didn't do that when she won.
No.
Do you think, y'all, that Memphis, y'all really have to fix me, correct me on this one. It seemed like Memphis was playing a game that was maybe a little intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
To his group. So that she stayed, that's why I really appreciate that Cody, when he found out that he had an alliance with others, you know, cut him. But it seems like with Christmas, she seems like such a strong, powerful, strong woman, which I know she is.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, looking at her bio, Jessica, is really impressive.
Oh, my God.
I looked at it today. She really is.
Yeah.
She really is. So I was really surprised that he seemed to control her. And she seemed, the only thing I think when he was telling her about the committee or the wise guys, and the one thing she says, well, I'm a girl.
Yeah.
And then it was named wise guys. But from there, I mean, I was just surprised that she let him, it seemed like, kind of control her and her game, which I think probably hurt her as well. But okay.
I do think that there's definitely an issue there, but I think it's, like we've said before, it goes both ways, right? Memphis is someone who I do think comes across as a little more controlling, a little more domineering, and he wants to feel like he's the one that's making the decisions and running the show. And maybe that was part of her gameplay. Maybe she said, well, I'm going to let him act like he's in charge and let him take the reins, because then the blood will be in his hands and not mine. But by doing that, she really took some of the power away from her, because then he created the two different groups of wise guys that she was unaware was happening. And so she, by kind of sitting back and letting him lead, she ended up really letting him lead and putting her into a corner that she then found herself having nobody, because when Memphis was gone, that was her number two.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We're back. So let's get back to the show.
Okay. The third rule talks about the need to be flexible. We've already talked about how Christmas at various points had different alliances going, which was good in theory. But she was one of the main people dragging everything back to the committee. She told Mike Bloom in her exit interview with him that she believed the committee members all knew she was committed to that alliance, but she had to remind them multiple times that they needed to keep the alliance together until they got to a certain point. She added that she played a key role in keeping the committee together, as if that was something to be proud of. Mm. It's something to be proud of if your name is Cody. But other than that, it's pretty much meaningless.
Yeah, I never really got the sense that she was a really integral part of the committee. Even though she was one of the six, she was a number. I didn't, to me, ever feel like she was the one kind of calling the shots and really making the decisions, because it was just a much different approach that she took than someone like Cody and someone like Memphis. You know, when Memphis, he thought he was running everything, and Cody is running everything. And so there's a difference there in how she presents herself versus what she thinks is happening in her head. So she might think that she is a, you know, this key component of it, when really she was just a number, I think.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, to go back to her HOH, Christmas told Mike Bloom that she put up Davon and Bailey because they were targeting four of her six person alliance, and she had to make a move to protect the committee. And she added that it was frustrating because of what Tyler did. But no, what was frustrating about that was that she couldn't see what she was doing to her own game. Mm-hmm. She was at a point in the game where she had a ton of flexibility, and she just threw it all away.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. So we can go to the fourth rule, which tells players not to let their emotions control them. We certainly saw a lot of Christmas crying in this past week. Jessica, how did she do in terms of emotions when it came to her actual game?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of the headlines I saw for her exit press was like emotion was like, you know, this emotional playing that she actually showed on screen. So there was a lot of that was being discussed. But to her credit, she did say, though, I cried a lot because I was missing my son, and I cried a lot because I was missing home, and I felt like I was like all alone in this house and everyone was against me. But she did say that she never let emotion make a decision for her in the game, that she was able to separate them out. And I hope that that's true, because looking at her game, I do think that the issue with Bailey and Tyler, I do think there was some emotion twisted into that, because even though she wanted to try to keep the two separate, I don't think she necessarily did. I think that she let some emotion get in there because she wanted to act like, oh, I'm the HOH and I need to be in control. And so I question some of her ability to keep things separate, but maybe she did, and she feels like she did. So if the crying was associated with loneliness and missing her son, that's one thing. But I do think that from what people have said about Christmas is that they saw her as being really angry and getting upset when things were happening that negatively affected her. And it was frustrating to them because they're like, every time I try to talk to her, like she's mad, or like she shuts us out and gets angry. So the read on Christmas was that she was emotional in how she was playing her game, even though she might want to believe that she wasn't being emotional in how she was playing.
I started thinking that as I was watching it, that it seemed like that she was, you know, crying a lot. But then as I watched it back last night, the show that was on last night, it seemed like all the crying that I saw her doing was in the diary room, just like I saw other people as well. So then I started thinking, well, maybe she wasn't doing that. I mean, I did see that she would get, you know, angry, or you would see her emotions, you know, sitting by herself. And, but she didn't seem like she was crying then. So I thought, well, maybe she wasn't as crying as much as we thought. We just saw all that in the diary room with her.
Yeah.
Would that have been it?
Well, I think that was a lot of it. I do think, like you said, Jessica, in theory, she understood the rule. In theory, you know, she told Dalton Ross, there's a separation between personal connection and gameplay. And you know, so bravo to her for that. But we also have to remember that Christmas told Bailey and Devon that she nominated them as a game move and they shouldn't take it personally. But then a few weeks later, she was upset when Danny called out her and Tyler's final two alliance and snottily said, guess this is going to be personal.
Yeah.
So, you know, she did it sometimes, but not other times. And I think that takes us into, you know, her getting upset at stupid things, which goes to the fifth rule. And Jessica, you kind of started, you know, down that path already, because it's hard, with the fourth, especially with her, because this rule tells players they need to pretend to be nice and play the social game. And Christmas was literally feared in the house because of her temper.
Yes.
You know, we can start with the biggest example of poor behavior, and that was her whole argument with Bailey and Devon. Bailey told Mike Bloom in her exit interview that she had a conversation with Christmas earlier in the day where Christmas asked if she could hug Bailey and tell her that she loved her. And Bailey said she, quote, politely declined and said, I need some time. I'm still healing. You just refused to veto me 5 minutes ago. Give me a second. So for her to be so upset that she couldn't come into my personal space and be comfortable was very disheartening, when I'm the one who should be feeling uncomfortable at the time. I wanted to talk that through with her, but her emotions got the best of her, so that was not an option. I didn't like her behavior in that situation. So that was what Bailey said. Of course,
David, I got to interject this.
Okay.
But don't you think that Bailey was also a very emotional player?
Not this season. Her first season, yes.
And maybe that's what I'm thinking about, because I remember watching it thinking, whoa. So maybe the two of them, Christmas and Bailey, at that point coming together, is almost like two personalities that are so similar that each of them have to be ready, I guess, to forgive the other or to talk it out or whatever. But okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think Bailey, her first season was, And there were, of course, other reasons for that going on at the time. But her second season, she came in knowing I have to, you know, keep it inside mm-hmm. me. I can't yeah. be the angry
yeah.
woman.
Yeah.
But what happened was Christmas does not have any understanding of herself in that regard. And we saw that behavior because she was being so condescending, talking to Bailey and Devon like they were children. She had to get in the last word. You know, Devon is walking away. She has to make another comment. People walk through the kitchen. She has to make another comment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the funniest sentences anybody uttered this season was Christmas saying Bailey takes things very personally and doesn't let them go.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I do think that Christmas is an interesting individual because she is a very strong woman, as you've already talked about, Teresa. Like, she is a very, very strong woman. And I think that because of that, she probably feels the need to present herself in that way. And when she became HOH, I do think that there's this reaction to when people become HOH where all of a sudden they like the power goes to their head and they don't understand that they need to keep it even keel. Even though you're HOH, that doesn't mean you're king of the hill. It just means you are making a decision, but you need to be making a decision that the house is in support of or the people that you're playing with are in support and that's going to benefit your game. But I do think that it's almost like this, it for her, it was a really bad spot for her to be in because I think it really did go to her head. And she was the one who kept saying personal versus game, but it got very personal. And so that's why I do think that she struggled with those relationships she was making with people because I do think she feels like I have to present myself a certain way because I'm a strong woman. And unfortunately that backfired on her because I think she came across a little too aggressive at times. And like you said, she scared people sometimes.
But Jessica, and didn't it seem like too, because that's so interesting you say that when people become head of household, it seemed like as I was watching it every week, when anybody got that power, it seemed like very few people were humble with that.
Oh, I agree. Oh,
yeah. And there were a lot of cases of HOHitis.
A lot. I'm thinking, why are they doing that? This is 1 week.
Yeah.
And then they're coming off. And it's kind of like what Enzo was doing when he won the checkers. When he won the chess thing and he was so excited. I'm thinking, here are three people that know, you know, you're kind of sitting pretty for the final three.
Right.
I would be as humble as possible. And I'm always amazed each week with the players on how they've done this. And that has really surprised me with every, and Memphis was a really good example of somebody that I thought as he was winning it, the power that he would feel like he had. And I think I'm not quite sure I'd be acting like that, but
right.
Anyway,
yeah,
it seems like a lot of them were doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is Christmas did it even when she wasn't, you know, she allowed those emotions even beyond the 1 week. She certainly did it the 1 week, but like the following week, she couldn't understand why she wasn't being treated like a queen. So she was, you know, got very upset when Devon had the nerve to choose her as a have not. I mean, sure, she nominated Devon, sent Bailey packing, but Christmas just couldn't understand how that would affect things and make Devon want to make her a have not. You know, later in the season, she was flabbergasted and pissed at David getting the money instead of the veto, despite the fact that she had been told she very well could have been a replacement nominee if he had won that OTEV competition. She should have been thanking him for getting the veto and, you know, not being able to mm-hmm. win. But instead, she was appalled that he would fight for the, you know, he wouldn't fight for the win because, as we discussed earlier, this whole game to her is about winning comps. And then, of course, who can forget Tyler telling us that they were all going to have to suffer because Zingbot nailed her so good.
Zingbot got a lot of them, really.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, didn't he get like Nicole the best?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, or the worst?
That was painful.
Exactly it. Christmas was the one who really took it to heart and was like, I'm going to take this out on everybody.
It's so funny, David, because believe it or not, I don't remember that. I remember Nicole's. Of everybody, that's the one that stood out. Now, maybe because I think it was last. Hers was the last one. So maybe mm-hmm. that's why. But I kept thinking, whoa, that's pretty strong. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when Tyler was evicted, he told Dalton Ross something that you two have already been talking about. He wanted to sit next to Christmas in the end because there were a couple, as he said, a couple of times where she might have rubbed people the wrong way. Mm-hmm. You know, we discussed at the time that he was trying to be as nice as he could, but it was clear that her terrible social game was a major reason. You know, looking at what some other people said throughout the season, Nicole A. told Mike Bloom in their word association portion of the interview that Christmas was full of herself. Cody said on the show that the way Christmas was behaving was just another reason to send her out. When she didn't get her way, she stormed around. Taryn mentioned on the Slop podcast a week or two ago that the others were so sick of Christmas. Now, this gets back to the whole sunglasses watching her dance thing.
Oh,
come on. That he was so sick of Christmas that he would literally ask to go to the diary room just to avoid her.
So David, reason to take her out or reason to keep her in?
And that's exactly, it's both. And, you know, but the thing is, when it came to Christmas, she was pretty delusional when she came out of the house, because she told Julie Chen, I had a good argument against all of them. I played a good social game.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know,
well, David and Jessica, I know you're going to know this with people we play with our seasons. And well, I got to mention it. Your t-shirts you're wearing there.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's kind of like the same thing about, it's about the edit. You know, how they showed her, even though it wasn't edited, it was all in real time.
Right.
You know, it was I don't know. So people, it's self-awareness. I think people don't. Okay, I didn't see Christmas play the first time. So how was her social game? Don't tell me. Let me guess. How was her social game the first time? Let me tell you. The same as it was this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's Christmas.
Yes.
That's Christmas.
Yes.
So to her, she's got a social game because she doesn't realize, she doesn't see what people around her see.
Yeah.
Which is, you see that a lot on Survivor when people are like, I don't know, the editing showed me this way, but I don't know, that's just not right. And
yeah,
it's just self-awareness, I think. So people shouldn't have been surprised by Christmas if she was the same the first time. It's like we say, when you start playing a game like Survivor, Big Brother, you have all these plans. I'm going to play this certain way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this and that. Although, forget it, Big Brother, all these days with cameras around you, I don't even know how they do this.
Right.
It's crazy how they do this.
It is crazy.
And then I want to ask y'all, too, about the psychological part. So don't let me forget to ask y'all that later.
Okay.
All right.
So, but you're going to fall back right into the person you are immediately.
Yes.
Especially in Big Brother, I would imagine.
Well, and I think that it's interesting that you mention that, because if she's acting the same way that she did in her previous season, and these are all stars, they've seen you play, so there's an expectation that that's what you're going to be like. So choosing her as a number, I think, becomes a smart plan, because you don't have to necessarily worry about her being a big social threat, which I know we're going to get to that rule very soon. So I think it probably was to people like Cody and Tyler and Nicole's benefit to say, hey, let's bring in Christmas, because Christmas doesn't have the social capital that we do. You know, we have a better ability to form relationships and form really close bonds. She doesn't. And we know that because we've seen her play that way before. However, she thinks she's really good at it. So let's feed that fire a little bit. Let's make her feel like she's desirous to work with and to play with, and then we can just use her as a number. So I'm curious if that's what led to her being part of the committee, and also led to nobody knowing she was part of the committee.
Was she loyal the first time she played?
Was
she a loyal player?
Yes.
I mean, so guys, like you just said, this is the person you know that you want to bring in close and keep with you. So
she named her son loyal.
Yeah,
especially somebody like Tyler and Cody that have such strong social games, and they're good at comps. Tyler was good at comps, wasn't he? I thought so.
Yeah.
Cody's good at comps. Tyler's good at comps. And their social game is like so good that you would think they would have grabbed on to her. Well, I guess Tyler did try to grab on to her.
Yeah.
And then Enzo messed that up. So
Yeah. I think we can move into the sixth rule, because, you know, it is an area, there are lots of areas where Christmas thought she did amazing, and they relate to the sixth rule, which warns against being too much of a threat. And when I say she thought she was amazing, I don't mean in terms of adhering to this rule, but in going against it. For a long time, she believed she was running things in the House. She still thinks she's a comp beast. She even talked in interviews about how she won a comp in each of the four categories. But she seems to forget that she was gifted at least two of those comps.
The HOH? So, come on.
Yeah. Well, the question one and the running one.
Mm-hmm.
So the funny thing is that as much as she thought she was a threat in those areas, she wasn't a threat in those particular areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was one place that she was a threat. And this, it goes back to what you two have been bringing up the whole way through of why wouldn't you take her to the end? And it's very similar to what we said about Memphis last week, because Memphis was a specific threat to Cody.
Yes.
And we had the same situation with Christmas. He specifically said there was no way he should cut Nicole over Christmas because Christmas has wanted me out for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she was not a strategic threat, she was not a competition threat. She certainly wasn't a social threat, as we discussed. She was a threat of the most important kind, which was to Cody.
Yes. And unfortunately, Enzo and Nicole are not recognizing that and utilizing it to their benefit.
Ooh, yeah.
Whereas Cody sees it and knows that this is what's happening and knows that she's been gunning for him. And there's no assurances, even though she said, like, I'm going to try this week. I'm going to throw them into the ring and say, I'm going to definitely take you to the final two. But that's the first time he's hearing it. Whereas Enzo and Nicole have been saying it since before the game even started. So yeah. There's that. So I do agree that that's where her threat level really just surpassed everything, because there was no true comfort for Cody knowing that he was going to go forward if he kept her.
I don't think she would have taken him.
I don't think so either.
And I don't, but I don't blame her for saying it at the end. And you got to appreciate that Cody's thinking, yeah, I don't trust this at all. I mean, I've got two that I know I've got to decide which one I'd want to take. But unfortunately, Christmas wouldn't take him. I don't think she would. Yeah. So, yeah, last ditch effort.
Yeah. Now, the seventh rule says to trust almost nobody. T-Bird, how do you think Christmas did here in terms of trust?
You weren't supposed to throw any questions to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that was a rule.
Jessica, you told him that unless I started talking and acted like I knew something, but don't throw anything to me.
I didn't realize that was a rule. Okay.
That's it's rule 7B. Okay.
No. All right, what's the question again?
How do you think she did with the seventh rule in terms of trusting almost nobody?
Trusting almost nobody. How can I get quiet all of a sudden? You threw it to me.
You want me to start? You can pick
you
up.
Start. Okay, you start and then I'll interrupt.
Okay. So there were several people who Christmas trusted during her time in the game. We had Bailey, Tyler, Memphis, Enzo, and we saw what happened. She voted out Bailey. She lost Tyler's trust. She was in the wrong wise guys alliance. She got screwed over multiple times with Enzo. This week she said Enzo had been fishy for a few weeks. Well, maybe you should learn something from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jessica. Your turn.
All right. My turn.
I'm still thinking. I'm coming. Well, I got to come back here in a minute.
But here's the thing. I think this goes back to what we've talked about a lot with her, is that she does have the ability to trust people because loyalty is very important to her. But she's very selective about it, I think. And I feel like as soon as there's a reason to question it, then suddenly it's like there's no going back. We can't salvage this. We can't fix it. This is done. It's over. And I feel like we never saw that with Memphis because there was no reason for that to happen. So she continued to have a huge amount of trust in Memphis, but she ended up not trusting people that she should have continued to trust. But she let that little tiny thing sneak in there and wreck the entire possibility of that relationship mending itself without recognizing, I think, that that's what was actually happening. You know, that she was kind of like inflating something that didn't really need to be an issue, but then turned it into something that it wasn't.
I guess Dave and Jessica say thank y'all for starting off and leave me on this one. The only thing I guess I really think about as far as trust is what y'all said. Thank y'all. Thank you for saying it first. Is the trust that she had for Memphis. And the way Memphis seems like he was playing so many people. And again, the way he was dominating the game, that she trusted him, like I said, with her personality, was very much a surprise to me. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, like, even Cody trusted him until he didn't, until he had a reason not to. Right. But she continued to hang on to him. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well.
All right. Rule number eight.
No. Appendix A. There is no rule number eight.
Oh,
in this.
There's no eight.
Yeah, that's just Appendix A.
Look at you. We're almost there.
Are we freestyle now? We
going no, freestyle? Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Not yet.
Go ahead.
So Appendix A deals with the jury phase of the game and planning for the end. Oh. And as in the past 2 weeks, there were two things to talk about here. What Christmas did to plan ahead and what the others accomplished in voting Christmas into the jury. For the first part, I don't think she quite honestly did anything to plan ahead, which is something we will almost certainly find that she shared with Enzo and Nicole next week. She voted out people she could have gone to the end with and had a fighting chance. Maybe. But she stayed loyal to those she could never beat and who would not take her to the end anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think that part of her issue, too, with the jury is that they're... When you become the player that the jury is looking at and going, why don't they just keep her? Because everybody knows she's not going to win. I mean, that's kind of the resonating theme we kind of saw with Christmas, is that people anticipated she wasn't going to win. And so I do think that once that narrative starts happening with the jury, you find yourself in a really, really, really bad spot, because obviously they're voting for the winner. Right. And so if the jury is looking at you even before they make it there, I mean, Tyler was talking about how she's rubbed people the wrong way. So there's already this idea that the jury is not going to really be too keen on her. And then to hear people starting to think, well, that's the one that everyone can beat. It's just this double. It's like it's coming at her from both directions, you know, where you've got the people, the way they felt about you in the house, not really liking you a whole lot. And then you've got the jury not really respecting her game. And so she's just, no matter what she thinks about her own game, perception is reality. Right. And if you're perceived in that way, then that's what people are going to think about you, both in the house and outside of the house. And I think so as far as the jury was concerned, she was in a horrible, horrible position with the jury.
All right. So y'all don't know this. Y'all know the answer to this. Where did they have her placed? Don't they place everybody before the season starts where they think they'll finish? Where did they have Christmas finishing?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
David, what?
I don't look at those things, you know. Okay. I don't know where, I mean.
And then so she finished third in the season she played.
Yep.
Could she have done any better there? Or is she like Enzo, a third place winner? Is that as far as she can get? I mean, people want her, they will carry them and then they'll cut them.
Well, I think she was surprised her last season that she got cut third, because she thought for sure that she was going to be taken to the final two. And I'm pretty sure that the reason that was given at the time that she was cut was, I think I can beat the other person. I can't beat you. And I don't know if maybe that was just being said to kind of make her feel better as she walked out the door. I'm trying to remember it as I sit here, but who knows? I mean, it's one of those things where she's clearly made it that far. I mean, she's done incredibly well both of her seasons, right, making it to three and to four. So she's doing something right. But it's it's a matter of how are you in front of a jury? And we don't know, because she didn't make it there last time. And this time, I think it was pretty clear that the jury wasn't real respecting of Christmas's game.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I agree. I mean, I do think she has it in her to be a second place finisher. But I don't think she has it in her to be a winner, unless she changes a lot about how she plays the game, you know, and she comes to a better understanding of the game. Now, for the second part of this appendix, it really only mattered what Cody thought, since he won the veto, you know, in terms of, you know, getting rid of her. But certainly doing that was his best move, not so much because he needed her in the jury, but rather because he needed her out of the final three. Mm-hmm. I think if either Nicole or Enzo had won veto, they probably would have done the same thing. Maybe Enzo would have kept her, as it would have been his best game move. But I feel like all the previous times this season have shown us that, oh, Enzo says, I'm going to make this move that's good for me. Yeah. Enzo, you know, da 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 da. And then Cody comes in and says, no, I want you to do it this way. And Enzo says, well, okay.
Yeah.
So I, you know, it didn't end up mattering because Cody won the veto. But even if Enzo had, I still think she would have gone out in fourth.
Yeah, which is still head scratching. Very head scratching. Cody is doing a great job controlling everybody. And I do think that there is something to be said about, obviously, we know more about what's happening, right? Because we get to see everything. We get to see the confessionals or the diary room, I guess I should say. And we get to see the feeds and the conversations that not everyone is privy to that's in the house. So maybe there's just this, they're not realizing how much Cody is respected, but everybody walking out of the house seems to have that respect for Cody. So clearly something has to be happening in the house that people are witnessing and are seeing. So I don't know if maybe Nicole and Enzo are so convinced that their game is so on point and so great that sitting next to someone like Cody and beating him, where you're going to beat the best player in the house, and that's going to bring you respect in front of a jury. I don't know if that's what they're thinking, but there definitely seems to be something amiss there where they're maybe thinking more highly of their own games and discounting some of Cody's, but everyone in the jury is really talking up Cody. So I'm not sure at what point people are making that realization. Like they walk out of the house and all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and they're like, oh wait, Cody is really doing great. But it doesn't seem to be the people in the house having that same conversation.
Well, I think you work so hard to get down to the finals and you've got to have people you trust to get you there. Mm-hmm. So I can see how Nicole and Enzo and Cody have stayed so close. But at this point, I guess I think like you just said, and we talked about earlier, I think they feel so good about their game and they can think of reasons why the jury would pick them over this one or this one. That, you know, and because they are not privy to everything that's been said, you know, I would think Nicole of anybody would be the most nervous or should be the most nervous because she's a previous winner. Mm-hmm. And I can see where Enzo might say, hey, you know, I think I might win this. But I would think Nicole would know over Cody that she can't. Now, whether she can with Enzo, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
Yep. All right. Well, it's about time to wrap things up. So T-Bird, you can give us your final thoughts about Christmas. You can go freestyle. You can do whatever you want.
Freestyle.
The floor is yours.
So y'all are our Big Brother. Y'all know all this Big Brother stuff. So because I've been watching it so closely, especially this week, so I was just curious about little things that I'm sure all the Big Brother fans already know about. For example, do they have a washer and dryer in the house? Do they wash their own clothes? Do they send the clothes out? The girls have these cute outfits on and cute shoes. Do they have closets? Do they bring the clothes in each week? What happens with the clothes? Do they change their sheets? Do they change their own sheets? Do they have maids that come in and clean the house? Do they clean the house? Who brings in the food? When they're in the diary room, and I loved it when they were in the diary room saying, hey, you know, we need, can I get a 12 pack of beer? I promise I'll share it. Or for Jessica, we need some more wine. Can somebody put that in here? I'll share it with Jessica.
Yes. Kettle chips.
Yes. Kettle chips. I'm so curious with all this behind the scenes stuff that I'm sure that y'all probably know that since I watched it so closely this week, you know, what happens, like, for example, I'll ask about 100 questions and y'all can pick and choose the few ones y'all want to answer. What about the emotional part of this game? Because I know with Survivor, you know, we go through all these psych tests and everything, but this Big Brother house, that's a whole different thing. I mean, you guys, this is a whole different thing to be locked up in a house. And I know people say, well, you know, with Survivor, everything's taken away. In the Big Brother house, you've got food and you've got the gym and you can go outside. That looks emotionally and mentally like it would be so difficult and so draining. I just wonder how they test for these people going in. And have they ever had anybody that's just gone nuts where they're like, hey, we got to get this person out of here. Somebody's just going crazy. I mean, what do they do about all that? Okay, go.
Well, to answer your questions, yes, they have a washer dryer. Yes, they do their own cleaning. They do their own cooking. They do their own, you know, bed making, all that stuff. They do have, I think you asked earlier, do they have a doctor? They definitely have medical staff. They have even more psychiatric or, you know, therapy staff. And yes, people do definitely lose it. You know, I think we saw that with Tyler this season where he lost it and had to be talked back into the game. And there have been others. And yes, there have been people who have been pulled when they lost it. So,
really?
Yeah. And I mean, we see that in Survivor too. You can test people all you want, but when it comes down to it, sometimes you just got to get people out of there.
And I think the big difference though, between like Survivor and Big Brother with the psychological component is at least with Survivor, even though you don't have the food and you don't have the comfort and all of those wonderful things like toilet paper in a bathroom, you have the environment that you're in. Like, I'd never been to Fiji before, and here I am sleeping on an island in the most beautiful place in the world and watching the most gorgeous sunsets I've ever seen. And so you have an opportunity to go to someplace else. And you also have an opportunity to get the hell away from the cameras. Like, if you want 5 minutes to go to the bathroom, you know, pick your nose, whatever it is you want to do, you have an opportunity to get away from the cameras. I remember hiding in very tall grass just so I would have some sanity for a few minutes to be like, nobody's following me. I'm just going to sit in this tall grass and they're not going to know I'm here so I can breathe for a few minutes. You don't ever have that in the Big Brother house. Anywhere you go, there's some camera watching you. And that, I do think, has to be very trying on these people because you never have a moment. You're mic'd all the time. So they're listening to even when you're talking to yourself. And so anything you're saying, the mics are picking up on it and they're zooming in on you when you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing or gross things. Or, you know, I mean, we've seen any number of those videos where you're like, oh, did that person really do that?
Okay.
They did.
Yeah.
So it's one of those situations where I think that has to be a very difficult thing to get through when you're in that house.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Jessica, when we were mic'd, of course, for Survivor, and right off the bat, it was within minutes, you actually forget that everything you're saying. I mean, you would think you wouldn't forget that, but you do. And I'm sure they're the same way with that there. But so Jessica, that's interesting because, you know, in Africa, we were in that boma and we could never get away. In Africa.
That's so true, because the animals were going to eat you.
Yeah, I was going to say you could, but you'd be eaten.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, well, right. They encouraged us to stay in the area. And that was one thing that I thought was so difficult because there was never a chance to either to get away to help strategize or just to get away to do that. So, you know. All right. So I wanted to see who the best Big Brother trivia person is.
Uh-oh. Oh my God.
Hold on. Let's speak before you do that. Before we do that, why don't we wrap up Christmas? So why don't you tell us your final thoughts on about Christmas?
Okay, Christmas. Oh gosh, I want to do Christmas a good job here. All right. Christmas. I love her strength. No, I love her strength and her workouts, and I loved how she would be working out every day. I'm sure that was her mental medicine every day, was going to that gym. Let's see. Jessica, you start.
Okay. We'll come back. So I have a theory about Christmas, and my theory about Christmas is that she is someone who, as T-Bird has said, is a very strong woman. She's written multiple books. She works out incessantly. She has a body that any woman would just die for, and a very impressive person. And the things that she's been able to accomplish are, you know, just amazing. So kudos to her for that. She's had some issues like we all have. So I don't want people to think I'm discounting that. But that's the type of person that she is coming into this house. She is a strong, independent individual who has really like made her own existence really become what she wanted it to be. I mean, you just look at what she's accomplished and it's really it's very impressive. So I do think that someone like that coming into this house has a very strong sense of themselves and has a very strong sense of wanting to accomplish. And that's why I think David talked a lot about her being a comp beast, because that's who she is. She's a beast. She CrossFit and these crazy, you know, competitions that she's in. I don't think she ran a marathon when she was 9 months pregnant, though, T-Bird. You did. So got to give you props for that. So I just think that her in this house, she came into it almost with like, she had to prove herself, because the last time she played, she broke her leg. And when she broke her leg, she wasn't able to compete. And that's what she does. She competes. So that's why I think that became so overpowering for her and overshadowed everything else she did in the house. Instead of focusing on my social game and needing to really form close bonds and having, you know, great relationships and really like capitalizing on as many, you know, people I can in the house, I want to compete. And she said it right from the beginning when she got to the house. I can't wait for the competitions. I can't wait to compete, because I do think she wanted to show America that she can compete, because look at her. That's what she does. But unfortunately, I think that skewed what she needed to be focusing on. And I think she got really hung up on that area of it. And it didn't help her at all that the six people in her alliance, or the six of them together, were winning everything. Because it just fed into this idea that the competitions are so significant and important, because look, we have all the power. We're making all of the decisions. We're the ones deciding who's going on the block. We're the ones deciding who's going to be evicted. And it was all based upon the fact that they kept winning. So it just kept feeding into this idea that she had, that the competitions were the most significant part. And so I think all of that has negatively affected her ability to really play the game to her full potential. And when she lost, we saw just how horrifying it was for her. That pumpkin is going to live in her brain for the rest of her the rest of her life. She will forever be overshadowed by pumpkin. She's going to hate Halloween. You know, it's like pumpkins are going to be the thing that she despises for the rest of her life. So I just think that that's what we saw happen with Christmas. I do think that her last season really affected her this season. And unfortunately, she found herself at the end with not enough people knowing that she had their back and that she would be loyal to them. And they couldn't risk it. They just couldn't risk it. Cody knew she wanted him gone, so he got rid of her.
All right, T-Bird, do you want to wrap anything up other than that she picked the wrong, other than that she picked the wrong Memphis?
About Christmas. All right. So she might not like Halloween, but she does like Christmas, because her name, you know, her middle name is Joy. Christmas, yes. Joy.
That's her amazing.
Her parents loved Christmas time.
Yeah. Apparently.
Well, anyway, but you know, so Jessica, you did say, and a lot of times when we talk favorably about people and favorably, then people will say, yeah, but she did this and that. Some of the things that maybe she has done outside that have we've seen or we've read about, mm-hmm. it shows once again what we were talking about. She's very passionate. She's yes. very emotional. Mm-hmm. And you have seen that. It's the way she is. Yes. She's actually played the game pretty much exactly the character that she is in real life. So, and she's very determined and she's very focused. And when you think about how important these comps are, I know a lot of times it's best to kind of play behind somebody and let them be the head of household and let them make all these calls about getting people out. So I can see where she's a little bit disappointed, because she is a beast as far as, you know, her fitness and everything. But again, I mean, the first time she played, she made it to third place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then here she plays again, basically like y'all told me, because I didn't see that time, the same way she played before, and she made it to fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And from where I'm sitting, she could have won this thing if or gotten down to the final, you know, final two. If these other three had realized that's the girl we want. So
yeah,
looking at this week's play and so much is factored in. I mean, obviously, if Tyler and if Enzo had stayed with the vote to get Nicole out and hadn't betrayed Enzo, hadn't betrayed Tyler at Christmas, everything would have been changed up. Now, whether mm-hmm. that would have changed her or not getting further, and maybe she would have gotten further to sit with either Tyler or Enzo, maybe she still doesn't win. But she makes it from fourth place to second place. And maybe that's Christmas's game. You know yeah. how they say with Survivor, sometimes there are a few people that just can't do that right thing to win it. And maybe Christmas is that. But let's don't you know, let's don't forget she did make it to Final Three and Final Four. And that's nothing to sneeze at. That's pretty good. With All-Stars, especially everybody knowing how she played when she played the first time. So, you know, I'm impressed with her. You know, she played Christmas, played Christmas.
So you're saying Christmas is Russell Hance is what you're saying.
Oh, gosh. Russell is in a league of his own. Yeah. And you know this. You know this. No, I'm not. I'm trying to think who. I was going to ask y'all both this earlier. Who do you think she could have beat? Who could Christmas have beat?
Maybe Memphis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Memphis.
I agree.
If she had taken somebody beside her, like maybe like a David or a Kevin, I think she might could have beaten them. But again, I guess, you know, she had that alliance of six. And again, for her to get down to Final Four, it's not bad. I mean, in an all-star season.
No, it's not.
Right. All right. Well, there's so much we've said about Christmas and how she had opportunities but threw them away. As I mentioned earlier, even after playing this game for almost two full seasons, she still doesn't understand what it's actually about. She said she wanted to do what it took to win for her family, but when it came down to it, she helped her alliance win instead of herself. Much to the surprise of many, she created some early flexibility and could have gone a lot of different ways. But instead, she was one of the head cheerleaders for the committee and absolutely cut off all her other options, leaving her at the mercy of tighter allies who didn't want her around. Despite the fact that we spent a fairly long time talking about how Christmas screwed up her social game, that really didn't come into play. You know, you talked about that, and, you know, I did as well. And I've said this about others as well this season. If anything, her social game should have helped her get to Final Two, which was Tyler's plan. But her lack of strategic foresight meant she couldn't break through the final three of Cody, Enzo, and Nicole, even with that on her side. Cody knew he could beat anyone, so there was no reason to risk not getting brought along. 'Twas the night before Christmas's eviction, and all through Big Brother. Not a creature was stirring, because they feared Loyal's mother. The final four photos were still on the wall. They just wanted her to go without another brawl. The house guests all hid from her, snuggled in their beds, while visions of Final Three danced in their heads. Enzo with his weird hat and Cody in his baseball cap. Nicole joined them both after a long strategic nap. They all stood together. Nobody would break because Christmas didn't make alliances that would take. Cody had Enzo and Nicole in a vice, but Cody knew Christmas was a roll of the dice. She was loyal to some, no matter the cost, but she picked the wrong allies. And that is why Christmas lost.
Jessica, do it with me. Where are your glasses?
I don't have any. You should have told me. I would have brought sunglasses.
Jesus, that was great. What?
That was so good. Yeah, that's
that
amazing.
Really good. That was good. Wow.
See, nice. You made it through, T-Bird. Isn't that great?
That's great.
Okay, well, apparently you still have a trivia for us, which, by the way, just a warning. Yeah, we're horrible at trivia.
I hate to do this to you.
Okay.
You just finished that beautiful, beautiful poem about Christmas, and now we're doing trivia. What?
Okay, before we do that, let me wrap a few things up first. So, you know, people could hang around for the trivia, definitely. But, you know, anyone who heard us on Survivor Trivia with Jordan Kalish and Rob, the two of us together couldn't beat Rob. So,
you're so bad.
Yeah, we're bad. But before we start to wrap things up, I do want to mention that although the rules are different for Survivor and Big Brother, behind Jessica is a great depiction of the Survivor rules drawn by Eric Reichenbach. Anyone who's interested can get an 11x17, that sized version of the poster at tinyurl.com/DavidRulesPoster2. We also have another way to get the rules.
So you can, that would be a great Christmas gift.
It would. Yes, it would.
Exactly. Perfect. That's a great Christmas gift.
Great Christmas gift.
And another gift is another way that you can have it always with you. And that would be in T-shirt form.
That's right.
And so just go to robhasawebsite.com or robhasapodcast.com and click the merch link near the top. Sort the store so the new items are first and the shirts will be right there. Also, if anyone ever had any doubt about the way Jessica and I think alike,
yep,
we have recently completely eliminated it. A little while ago, both of us decided to get each other a belated birthday gift, or like you said, T-Bird, maybe it was a Christmas gift. We didn't discuss this with one another at all.
Nope.
We fully intended it to be surprises to each other. And then we received each other's gift, and it turns out we were always thinking the same thing. I sent Jessica a mask with Eric Reichenbach's original comment from when she was rocked out.
Here I go. I'm going to put it on.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Here I am. Oh, I got to be straight here.
Yes.
Look at that.
So see, there's my rock,
and it's yes. The same one. For my crying over here.
No, this is the same one.
Right. It's not the same. It's the same scene.
Right.
But yes. And if you see up here, I have Hannah's boobs on my face.
And there it is right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what Jessica did was she went to the poster and sent me Eric Reichenbach comics first. This is Jessica's scene of being at the fire.
Yes. So he has to wear me.
Crying. That's right. And then she knew how much I valued the first rule. So she also got me the Witcher.
Look at that. That's great.
It's so good.
Eric is so talented.
Now, I have to tell you a funny story. Okay.
So talented.
When I ordered David's, I was having them sent right to his house. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to break everything. And I was like, I hope that they turned out well, because you don't see them when you're ordering it online. Right. Like you send the image and I'm just like praying. Then all of a sudden I come home and I have a package and I open it and this is in plastic. And I was like, oh my God, they sent the masks to me. Like, where's the other one? And I was so confused. And then I wanted to take it out of the plastic, but it was a mask. So I'm like, I don't want to do that. It's David's present. And then it dawned on me, Jessica, this is not the one that you made for David.
Wow.
Like, David sent you one, and then it all like came full circle and I was like losing it, and I got in touch with him, and yeah, so this is amazing. I love it. So yes, yeah, so
great minds think alike.
Great minds think alike.
Tell me the story. I need to hear the story of y'all. How did y'all come together?
Well, basically I was doing the podcast with Rob at the time. And you know how difficult Rob can be. I was doing the podcast with Rob at the time for Jessica's season. Jessica, of course, got rocked out. There were a lot of people. Yeah, there was a lot of people who were criticizing her and saying, oh, she shouldn't have done that. She should never have, you know, da, da, da. And on Why Jessica Lost, I went through and explained in detail why she made the right move. It ended up, you know, the rock. Obviously, you know, it was random.
The wrong rock. That's
yeah,
what
she picked the wrong rock.
Yeah.
So Jessica had been listening. She was not an RHAP fan before she got on her season, but she listened all the way through. And so she had been like sending stuff on Twitter about previous people saying, oh yeah, you got that exactly right. You picked up on exactly what it was. And so once I did her podcast, the podcast with her, you know, then it was a few more weeks. And then Rob does his deep dive interviews. And Rob called Jessica, and Jessica said, I will do it, but I want David on.
And it worked. Yep. I had my public defender with me.
Rob was doing too many podcasts. And he realized, you know, he was doing the recap. He was doing the voicemails. He was doing the Wiggle Room. He was doing Why Blank Lost. There might have even been another one in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And so he realized he was stretching himself too thin, and also wanted to split off another podcast onto the reality TV wrap-ups, which is where we are now. So he came up to me. We were having, Rob has a podcast meetup in Salt Lake City. It was RahapCon Salt Lake City. And he came up to me and told me this plan. And he said, so I think you would do better taking the lead and having a different co-host. And we both immediately said Jessica as the co-host.
That was the most incredible like text message chain I ever got when I was asked. Oh, yes. We have to cheers to that.
Cheers.
I'm telling you, I was not expecting it when all of a sudden, like, I was like, what? And it was that was a really great moment to be asked to join our HAP and to be part of this podcast and to be working with David. And I was completely like nervous, scared. I'm like, I'm going to screw this up. This is going to be terrible. Like, what am I going to do? And now here we are.
That's right.
What do you say? How can you? I know you're extremely busy. I mean, I've mentioned to you about everything you're doing. I don't know how you do it all. David, I know you're busy too. But when Rob and David approach you for that, how can you say no?
I know. That's what I was like. This is incredible. Because, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, you know, because you do your segment with Rob as well.
Well, I know because last week you texted me and called me and I'm like, how can I say no to Jessica and David? Here I am.
I mean, Rob just has the ability to really get people interested and to make people want to listen. And so I think he's very creative in what he comes up with and the different avenues that he takes. And I mean, talking with T-Bird is phenomenal because I don't know how many people's phone numbers you actually have, but you must have every survivor's phone number ever because you do have this uncanny ability to pull people out of the woods that we haven't heard from in the longest time. And he's utilizing that to bring in more listeners. And I just think it's great. I think everything that he's put together is great. The fact that he thought I was good enough to join this team was really, I mean, just humbling. And so I'm so happy to be part of it. And I appreciate David putting up with me for as long as he has. It's been really quite fun.
I mean, you've been doing it now longer than Rob did.
I know, this is crazy. So yeah, it's definitely,
You're a great team. And you say, I mean, you're a very good team. You work well together. Your chemistry is so good. But you know, it's like Rob, when you're under an umbrella with Rob and RHAP, Rob is just so likable.
Yes.
You just like him. And the people that he has that surrounds him under this umbrella, hopefully are people that people like and they want to hear. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, of course, he keeps growing, getting bigger and bigger. So, yeah. Hey, Jessica, do you remember this? I hope you do because I remember this. I remember exactly where I was standing. The night that you got voted out of your season. You're not going to remember this probably because I know everything was like crazy. I called you.
Yes, you did.
I called you.
Yes.
I called her on the phone.
Now, yes.
David, I don't know how I got her number, but I have, you're just talking about having everybody's number. I don't know how I got your number, but after I watched that happen to you, I was so pulled into you and your game and that happened and I could feel it.
Aww.
I could feel it happening. Like I could feel that how that would feel when you get so far and you, through no fault of your own, just some bad luck.
Yeah. Well, I will say that moment, because that was a rough night, obviously, watching them. I was with my family and I knew it was coming and they knew it was coming. But then you're reliving it and watching it. And then to hear you. And I was like, I'd never spoken to you before. Like, you said, no idea how you got my number. And all of a sudden, here is someone who's part of the survivor family checking in and making sure that, like, I'm okay. And knowing that there's a support system out there is really incredible. And I don't think enough people understand that that's what Survivor creates. It does create a world of people, love them or hate them. You know, there you have this bond that no one will ever understand. And you've been through something that people really don't get. And my family didn't truly get it. But it's someone to hear someone who's been through it to say, hey, I'm here. I understand. I'm with you. And I can feel what you're going through. It was really an incredible thing to have happen. So thank you for doing that for
me.
Well,
but Jessica, I never, ever dreamed you would ever answer the phone. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter to me that you answered it. It would just matter that you heard whatever I said, that I felt for you. I felt for you. So
well, that was amazing.
I just remember when I was talking about, when we were talking about pulling this together, I'm like, I remember the night I called her that night.
Yeah, you did.
So anyway, we've been connected a long time.
I know. Cool. I know. It's so nice when my phone rings and it's T-Bird. I'm like, hey.
And Jessica, what you said, this kind of brings it full circle with the Survivor family and the RHAP family. and we're talking Big Brother, the Big Brother family. Can you imagine as close as you got with your people in your season and I got with my people from Africa? Can you imagine these Big Brother people that are together for all these days, this intense, just everything? They have got to form a really, really close bond, I would imagine. You know,
once, or they hate each other.
Right.
I guess it could go that way too. But once time has passed and they, I would think they would all be just really connected. Because I kind of feel, and Jessica, tell me if you do and David too, I really feel connected to the Big Brother people in a way because it's all CBS and a lot at times there was same casting people putting it all together. So with the Big Brother and with the Amazing Race, I mean, I feel like we're all this big group of cool people together and it really is neat. I love it.
Well, you need to come to Hearts Reality. When they ever open the world back up again, you need to go to Hearts Reality you need to hang out with all of those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to meet T-Bird at the Atlanta, RHAP know-it-alls COVID interview.
Until that happened.
Which is
until
the reason
that happened.
That's right. Exactly.
Until that happened. All right, everybody. Yeah. That happened. Put your mask on. There's yours. Y'all have good masks. I don't even have a good mask. Okay. Okay, so you guys. All right. So this is something I thought was really interesting last night. And I thought I wanted to ask y'all, a couple of nights ago. And I wanted to ask y'all about it. But I thought, let's have some fun with it. Uh-oh. And I thought these two are really know their stuff. And I talked to Jessica, like, Jessica, I really don't think you want me because I don't know about any of this stuff.
This scares me right here.
And I said, do you have notes and stuff? Well, look, I have all these notes and stuff. I've been trying to do my research so I wouldn't disappoint David because Jessica already knew what she had, but I knew David didn't. So this is what I was interested with. Hey, y'all don't have any notes, do you?
No,
I got nothing. I got nothing.
Okay. I want direct eye contact right here. Okay. What they played this week on my very, very favorite. Now I have to look down at my notes. So y'all don't look down because I can't tell because I'm looking down.
Okay.
On the Fast and Furious, which by the way, what a great workout tool. I've got to have that here at the farm to use because I love that. Get on the hamster wheel. They were asked questions. What day certain things happened.
Oof.
Now, they asked the first question was, what day is it? How many days have y'all been in the Big Brother house? Well, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm out. Color me out. I don't have a clue. I'll be on there running and trying to do whatever. So I'm wondering how in the world they knew the day, for example, what day the replay power was activated. Now, I'll give you a clue. I wanted to see if y'all knew any of these answers because I'm going to keep score with you, David, and you, Jessica.
Zero to zero.
It's going to be terrible.
And this is the one, actually, that Christmas missed. This is the only one she missed that she lost time on this one. What day was the replay power activated? Just guess. Whoever gets closest wins a point.
That it was activated?
What day was the replay power activated?
Replay power. I'm gonna, 21.
Yeah, I was going to go with 20.
Okay. The answer is day 51. Jessica, Jessica, you have 1 point. Okay. The next question is, what day did they enter the Big Brother basement? David? What day?
53.
Day 53. Okay. Jessica?
53. I don't think it was that far in. They entered the Big Brother basement. I'm going to go with like day 20 on that one because I feel like it was early.
Day 31.
Yeah, Jessica? I just realized after I said it, I was like, no, they got the powers in the basement. So it had before.
Jessica's leading David 2-0. Okay. What day was the triple eviction?
Ooh.
What day was the triple eviction?
I'm going to go with day 70.
Okay, day 70. David?
I will say, I will pick Cody's favorite day, day 69.
Day 69, okay. It was day 58.
Yes. Yes.
What?
David was closer.
It was that early?
It was day 58. So David, you got one. Where it's got Jessica two, David one. Now, what day did they redeem the safety key? What day did they redeem the safety key?
I think I have to go first on this one. The safe, they redeemed the safety key.
What day did they redeem?
Different days?
Oh, that was the safety suite. Is that what you're not talking about? The safety suite.
Safety key.
14.
David, okay, 14.
Oh, Jessica? My God. I swear to God, that was the number that just popped into my head. But I will go with 24.
Okay. Day 17. Ooh. All right, so we go on with David. We got tie score, 2-2. What day? Well, I won't do that one because that one's too hard. That one is not going to apply. What? All right, the power of veto was used to block someone on what day? It was used to block Kevin. What day?
Oh, I'm going to go with.
Was used to take someone off the block. And
yeah.
I'll give you a clue. Davon used it.
Yeah.
Kevin.
36.
Well, I think it was later than that, so I'll go with 37.
27. Ooh.
27?
What did you say, David?
He said 37. He went one above me.
Okay. All right. So right now it's 3-2. All right. We'll do two more unless we need to. All right. What day did Dr. Will say think three moves ahead?
Oh.
What day?
You know, it would have been good if I were paying attention to the previous answers.
I know. Me too. Okay. What day?
I think I go first.
You go first.
I think I give you the advantage here.
All right, David.
51.
Okay. 53.
56. 56.
Damn you.
Okay. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, we're going to do, I want to give David a chance to come back. What day was the disruptor power activated?
Oh, yeah, that's a real chance.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I have to go first? Oh.
Yep.
Disruptor power. 49?
David? Come on, David.
48.
This is your chance.
48.
38. You got a point. Okay.
Yay.
Okay, I'm asking this one. If you get it, David, we're tied.
All right.
If you don't get it, the win's going to Jessica.
All right.
Okay. No pressure. There's no pressure here. What day did we meet Otev, the psychedelic salamander? What day? Jessica?
I'm going to go with 54.
Ah! Oh, my God! It was 53! Ah! Oh, my gosh!
I almost picked 53.
All right, so you guys, this is my question.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You guys, y'all follow this Big Brother stuff. So I want to know this. How in the world did those players this week know these answers to the day? Those were the questions that they actually asked.
You know what I think it is? Right. But here's the thing. Yeah. When you were in that house, what else do you have to do?
Right. And that's exactly, they know that there's a competition coming, at least one competition coming with days in it. And so they study, like Jessica just said, what else do you have to do? You count down the days and pay attention to it. And that's what you do is, you spend a lot of the hours going, okay, this happened on day one. This happened on day two. This happened on day three.
Mm-hmm.
So have they had this type of challenge before in the past where they knew because
I
gotta opt out again. Maybe I didn't see it. So I just thought, whoa, these people are sharp. Because you know, Jessica, how your brain gets all messed up as you go each day into Survivor. Mm-hmm. It's proven. I know they're eating and I don't know how well they're sleeping here at the last final days. Probably not that great. Mm-hmm. But that they were coming up with these, I'm like, wow, that's quite impressive.
No, I think food makes a big difference because your brain really slows down. It doesn't process the way that you would normally be processing.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. So you guys, this is a, okay. Like one more thing. This is it. No more games. I know you're sick of the games. All right. So when I was trying to review this week to act like I knew a little bit what I was talking about, I listened to Taryn.
Okay, that's a good person to listen to.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All right. And I kept listening to him. I'm like, oh my gosh, his voice reminds me of somebody. It's going to drive me crazy. So about the third or fourth podcast, it came to me exactly who I thought he sounded like. Now, who do y'all think he sounds like? And tell me I'm crazy if you think I am, because listen to this. I sent him a personal message. I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, I'm doing a podcast with David and Jessica, my two faves. Don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm trying to get used to this. So I'm listening to you all week to try to get caught up on all this, everything. I don't know how he does this every day for all this. I don't even know how he does it. And I sent him a message and I'm like, it's been driving me crazy who your voice sounds like. And I finally got it. It is. Well, this was several days ago. I've got nothing back. So I'm not quite sure he's liking who I thought his voice sounded like. So I need a second opinion.
Who does he sound like? Well, I think he sounds like someone who's in a movie. Like he's definitely, there's an actor, I think. Like he's got a great voice. He's got a great voice. But man.
It's very calming. Okay. It's a singer. Oh gosh, y'all are going to be so mad. So I'm at low battery. All of a sudden this went to 10%. Is that going to be crazy? Is that going to be crazy if it just cuts off and I say, his voice reminds me of... End of the podcast.
All right. So who does he remind you of then?
Okay. David, do you want to guess?
I have no clue.
Michael Blue Bay.
I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that.
That is very calming.
If I said his name right, I got so excited because my battery's closely going down.
Okay.
Listen to his voice and listen to Buble and you'll be like, yes.
I'm gonna do that.
Listen to it.
All right, we gotta do our thank yous then. If she's running
that's
out of
right.
Battery.
Well, let's hurry up here. Go ahead and I'll go through this quickly. We talked about our reality TV wrap ups and the Big Brother podcast. You can follow all the Big Brother podcasts, what there are left of them, at robhaswebsite.com/BB podcast on your favorite podcaster. And for those of you on audio, that was it.
T-Bird's
gone.
T-Bird's out.
We are also on the reality TV wrap-ups feed. So if you subscribe to that feed, you'll get this, our Survivor podcast, plus so much more. One of the other shows you'll get is the Bachelorette wrap-up podcast. As Claire Crawley tries to find love during these crazy pandemic times, during the all new season of The Bachelorette, through dates, rose ceremonies and plenty of drama. Each week, Claire narrows down the field of potential suitors to find the one. Mm. Join Amy and Haley every week as they discuss all the craziness of trying to find love while on one of the country's most talked about reality shows. Whether or not you're here for the right reasons, Amy and Haley will be there for Claire's entire journey. This and all Rehap-Ups podcasts are made possible with the support of the RHAP patrons. You can get access to our patron podcast feed, our Facebook and Discord communities, and much more by visiting robhasawebsite.com/patron. Once you join, you'll see all the great perks Rob has, including tons of opportunities to interact with Rob, both on shows like his weekly call-ins, before each eviction episode, and more. Remember, again, to go to robhaswebsite.com/patron. And once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
And you should also follow us on Twitter. I am at Jessica Lewis, right over here. And he is at David Bloomberg. This backward stuff really screws me up. So I'm at Jessica Lewis 89, at David Bloomberg. Follow us both. You can get both of the sides of the story, all of our tweets about Big Brother, and hopefully someday Survivor will come back and we can tweet about that too. Also, we had T-Birds on here as well, so you should definitely follow T-Bird. She's at T-Bird Cooper. Mm-hmm. So you should definitely follow her. She's got great things that she throws out there, like talking with T-Bird. So you should, if you are not involved in RHAP at all, but you're interested in the RHAP community and you're also interested in what else is out there, that's a great avenue because she brings in incredible guests who have played Survivor, people that she knows. So you should definitely listen to that as well.
Yes.
So there's that. And
yes.
She's on.
Yes, I know. She'll have to listen to this later. And that's the problem with certain phones and iPads and the like. It gets to 10% and then it goes from 10 to 0. And you're like, wait, what happened? I thought I had 10%. We do need a hashtag. The hashtag, I was thinking of was 'twas the night.
I love it. I think that's great because that was truly impressive. I really like that, you. David. That was great.
So, and of course, there's the hashtag for this podcast overall, YX Lost. In 1 week, we'll be right back here to discuss the end of Big Brother.
I know.
As we mentioned last week, we are bookending the season by bringing back our guest from week one, Ronnie Talbot from Big Brother 11. So join us right here as we almost certainly cover why Cody won.
I know, right? And we have to say thank you to Scott St. Pierre, who does all of the editing for Why Blank Lost, both the audio and video version. So thank you, Scott, for all of the incredible work you do. And also thank you to Will from America, who created the theme song that you hear on the audio version of Why Blank Lost. Thank you both. You guys are great. You do incredible work. And thanks, David. We can't thank T-Bird because she's gone.
But... Nope, she's back. Just in time to be thanked.
Just in time. Hey!
She's back just in time.
That was perfect timing because we were just doing our thank yous and I was thanking David. I'm like, we can't thank T-Bird because she's gone. And ta-da! It was like a magic trick.
Hey, y'all should have closed out because I'm back now. Let's talk some more Big Brother.
Listen, T-Bird, you have been so much fun. This has really been great. I know you were freaking out about this, and I didn't even get to say this at the beginning, but I do think tequila had something to do with you agreeing to come on to the show with us. Yeah. So, you know, I think that was a thank you, tequila, for doing that.
Y'all, thank you so much for having me. And again, I know that there are huge Big Brother fans that really know this game. So please don't take me too seriously because I've just started getting into it, but I'm still so excited to be part of the podcast with y'all. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we loved having you.
Yes. Thank you very much for joining us. I said it already. I'll say it again. You are truly the nicest person on the planet. So thank you for coming here. Thank you, Jessica, for another great week.
You're welcome.
See you next week.
Hey, I got something else.
Okay.
We didn't talk about this. Just one thing. Who is going to win the popularity vote? It's called something, but my mind just went blank.
America's favorite player.
Should we say that? Should we talk about that?
I mean, that's more interesting than who's going to win at the end because it's pretty obviously Cody. Right. But
I'll tell you who I think. I'm sure of it. Okay. I'm pretty sure of it. Davon.
Yeah. Yep. Hands down. I think she's winning.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Unless the only way she wouldn't is, you know, we're in our little RHAP Twitter Facebook bubble. So we have a lot of people who are saying, yes, vote for Davon. But we don't know what people outside that bubble are doing, just your casual viewers. Mm-hmm. The question is, does a casual viewer bother to get on and vote 20 times each day or 10? Right. I can't remember. But, you know, I know
a little something about those casual viewers from back.
Yeah, I know. And that's exactly it. When there was the second chance vote, we were certain you were getting on.
Yeah.
Because of our bubble. And
hey, listen to this, though, you guys. I did not think that. Listen to this. I did not think that until the day of. Rob did a podcast I wish I could remember who he did it with the people that were going. And Rob and whoever did it had me ranked like number two or three. So until I listened to that day, which I wish I'd never listened to, I listened to it. I'm like, shoot. I don't have to be number one or two. Or even three or four. I just have to make the top 10.
Right.
So anyway, but let me just say this. I guess you would call me a casual viewer though, David, because I don't know all these all-stars history, if you will. Mm-hmm. And just for watching this season a little more closely than normal, I really love Davon a lot.
Yeah.
And so if that's any indication, I know you guys are Big Brother fans, but even for me that I'm just getting into it, I've really been so impressed with her and liked her a whole. There's a lot of people I really like. I like Kevin a lot too. A lot of them, you know, but
there's a lot of support for Davon. And I do think that it does stem outside of our little bubble because there's just such a quality about her that I think people just can see and they want to support. And I think that that's how they're going to be doing it is voting for her to be America's favorite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, with that, thank you both again for a really great week. Really great podcast. Jessica and I will be right back here in 1 week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Brother, and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around.
They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why blank lost.